Well, from the best wine in the world, we now move on to the best beer in the world. And this is a hell of a story. Ben, you're going to have to help me with this pronunciation. How do you say it?
You've been trying to say it for the last 45 minutes. It's been quite entertaining for me. West Velletrin.
West Velletrin 12, is that what we're talking
about?
That's
the one.
West Velletrin 12. It's a limited edition dark ale beer brewed by the monks of the Abbey of St. Sixtus in West Velletrin in Belgium. Now, these monks have been making the beer, apparently, ever since 1839 and began selling a modest amount of the ale since 1931, never in large quantities. And they certainly aren't in it to make a buck, only enough to sustain themselves and to sustain the Abbey. Well, fame found the brewery in the mid-2000s when the beer information website, ratebeer.com, named it as the best beer in the world. Well, the next day, apparently, there's a huge lineup of cars outside the Abbey wanting the beer, and needless to say, the monks weren't very happy.
they weren't up on their Google or Facebook.
Apparently not. It's as rare as hen's teeth, this beer, the West Velletrin 12. Only a few bottles making their way to Australia. And to tell us a bit more about it, we're joined by Matt Kierkegaard from Beer Matt. Evening, Matt.
Good evening, guys. How are you going?
Good, good. Is my history about right?
Yeah, look, it is. It's one of those things that, you know, in Australia, we tend to think of these, monasteries and breweries having been brewed for centuries, but of course there have been one or two little things called world wars that have gone through. Every now and then the Germans want to, you know, visit France via Belgium, and quite often they take up residence in these breweries. So the story of West Velletrin is along the lines of what you described, but, you know, at the end of the Second World War, some of the breweries had the brew houses ripped out and melted down for armaments and things. So there was a break between 1946 and 1992 when the West Velletrin was actually being made by another brewery down the road. Mm. So it's a really fascinating story. And so the West Velletrin is very rare, but there's a very similar beer that's still being made by the other brewery that is very, very similar and much more commonplace.
What I love is the monks are very, very firm. They say, we are not brewers, we are monks, and we brew the beer to be able to afford to be monks. What then makes the beer so special?
Pretty much exactly that, scarcity. Anything that's scarce, people really covet. And I've only tried the West Velletrin 12 once, and that was a couple of years ago when I was in Italy, of all places. And I picked up, the monks did a special release of the beer because they needed a new roof of the brewery. And so normally they only sell two trays to any one person. You have to book. You can't buy a second time within 60 days. And you actually have to agree not to resell the beer to anyone else as part of the purchase. So you're basically giving the monks your word that you're not going to sell it to anybody else.
You lose a lot of brownie points when you get to the pearly gates if you diss the monks.
I'm hedging my bets on that one, yeah.
But that's what I love about this story. As you say, you have to book in advance on this. It's almost like a bat line, you know, a beer line, 60 days in advance. You have to actually make your way to the Abbey, which is hard to reach. It's a day trip from Brussels. You need to navigate your way down an unmarked and barely paved country road. But apparently, it's worth it.
Look, it is. It's the Belgians just give the reverence to beer that that the French give to wine, and they make these amazing beers, and this is one of them. I think the thing that saw it go to number one was the fact that it's so hard to get, and when people have gone to great effort around the world to either travel there and get it, or they've managed to source a bottle. You don't want to spend all of that money and then go on and be a rating site and say, it wasn't all that. It wasn't really worth the effort.
So it's quite an alcoholic product. It's over 10% in ABV. Now, what should it taste like, and what would people be looking for should they be so lucky to get their hands on a bottle?
Yeah, look, it's a dark beer. So you're going to get it. It's not tasting like a stout, for example, that really dark roasty. You'll get a little bit of that. You'll get some, caramel. You'll get some dark chocolate. You'll get a little bit of, fruit cake in it, some demerara sugar. Mm. It's very, very complicated, very, very complex, but it's just a beautiful beer. It would go quite nicely with some richer desserts. It goes very nicely with things like venison. So if you think of those sorts of dishes, it'll match quite nicely. But, for me, it's the type of beer that You've got your lawn mowing beers that on a hot day, you just sort of want to sort of refresh after having mowed the lawn and, you know, replace the sweat. And then there are beers that you want to sit back and contemplate the meaning of life. This is one of those sorts of beers.
So, Matt, will a beer like this seller, could we put it down for a couple of years and it develop into something else like a fine wine?
Absolutely. And you know, beer's a little bit different to wine. Well, when you speak to wine experts, you know, there are some wines you wouldn't drink upon release. Most beers, in fact, all beers are drinkable from the day that they're released by the brewery. But they will change and evolve. In a beer that's got this much rich flavour, you will get an evolution of flavours that a lot of people find pleasant. But it doesn't. You don't always say that it's better, but it will change and develop, and you'll get a whole lot of secondary characters that weren't there when it was fresh.
Final question, Matt. Do you agree? Is it the best beer in the world?
It's pretty damn good. it certainly is. But as I said, you know, like I've been lucky to have it the once. I think one place I saw recently was advertising it at, you know, $12 for 120ml serve. So you're really paying a lot of money, and all of that is based on scarcity and the fact that somebody's basically gone to the effort of getting it for you and then brought it out, and you know, it is limited requirements. There are beers that are very, very similar. In fact, the brewery that made it for, you know, from 1946 to 1992 still makes it to exactly the same recipe, and it is very widely available. So if you don't want to share it, and it, you know, I think it's about $6 or $7 a bottle, rather than $12 for a small serve, and it's called St. Bernardus. So you'll find it, you can certainly have something that is very, very close to the best beer in the world.
There you go, a fascinating story in the world of beer. Matt Kirkegaard from Beer Matt, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. Hopefully you guys get to have a beer when you knock off.
Oh, one day. What an amazing story. Rare as hen's teeth.
It is, and it was. We were talking to him there, and I was going to surprise you during that interview there, Luke, but I almost felt a little bit bad and a little bit guilty because I may or may not have been able to procure some bottles of the West Velletrian 12.
Hang on. This is a closely guarded recipe from the monks. Where are you pulling this bottle from?
Well, I haven't forged the actual production of it. I just happened to get my hands on a few bottles, and I thought for the Food and Wine Show, we always go for the biggest and the best. So what better way to do it? So for listeners at home, the bottle is it's a brown bottle. It's only 330 mils, and there is no label on it, so it's completely unmarked.
Because all the legal requirements are on the cap.
Yes, so it's all on the cap there. And, well, look, I think we should crack it open.
Let's take the cap off.
Well, hang on. We need a bottle opener here. We don't have a bottle.
Oh, well done.
That's always a step in it. Hang on.
To explain about our paddle operator, Geordie's just whipped off his belt. His pants are halfway down. He's got a bottle opener on his belt, of course.
Oh, there we go. So we've cracked this bad boy open. I can honestly say that I've never had a bearded gentleman take off his belt while I was having a beer before, but that's excellent. So we've cracked open this bottle. Now, the first thing that comes, we've poured it out here. Mm. How thick and rich does it look and does it smell?
Yeah, unbelievable.
So it's 10.2% alcohol, so it'd be about 2.5 standard drinks in a small stubby of beer. Now, we actually, and I know you're going to throw rocks at me, and perhaps the monks are going to come down and sort of take me to the side and chastise me. We actually sell this beer.
Oh, your company?
We do.
Craft Cartel.
Craft Cartel. Yeah, okay. We sell them for $50 a bottle.
$50 a bottle?
For 330 mils, and we sell them as quick as we can get them in. It's one of those beers, like what Matt was saying, it's one of those beers that it is both an exceptional product, it has a wonderful story, but there's an aura around it within the beer community, and, you know, fame leads to fame, right? Yeah. People who've liked things and people who have shared.
Are people buying this at $50 a pop?
Absolutely. As quick as we can get it in, we sell that again. So if you are after some, make sure you jump on quick because it will not last.
Well, now, let's have a little taste.
Let's have a little bit of a taste, and you'd almost be drinking this in the same way as you'd be drinking a wine. Mm. So we have served it at room temperature here, and what do you think?
You know what it tastes like to me, and I'm uncultured in this sphere, as you know. I think it actually tastes more like a red wine than a beer.
The body to it, the mouthfeel to it, the weight behind it. You get those caramel undertones that Matt was talking about there, almost like a little bit like Christmas cake there. It's heavy, it's rich, it's certainly a drink to be savoured. So, look, you can now say, on the back of interviewing the chef de carf of Bollinger, on top of interviewing the top chefs right around the world and here in Australia, you can now lay claim to having consumed the best beer in the world, and I noticed that your glass was very empty very quickly.
Indeed. It is called West... Oh, damn it. What's it called?
West Velletrin.
West Velletrin. It's a mouthful, particularly after a 10.2%. And you can get it at the Craft Cartel website. Fascinating stuff. All right, we're going to take a break on the Food and Wine Show, and on the other side of that, we are going to learn a bit more about the world's most famous soft drink.